Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another Grayscale Gorilla podcast. I'm Chad Ashley. With me, as always, is my man, Nick.
What is up?
And my other man, Chris.
Hi, everybody.
You have two men.
I have two men in my life.
Listen,
and,
hey,
and a lot of women.
Before I forget, happy Father's Day. You're the only father here, as far as we know. Congratulations.
Thank
How
you.
Was your Father's
Thank
Day?
You. It was enjoyably. It was very nice, actually. It was really cool. We had a great breakfast, and then we all went to go see Wonder Woman. And my dad and my mom met us there at the theater, and we saw Wonder Woman, and then we went out for tacos. So if you know me, movies and tacos.
Yeah, perfect day.
It's a perfect combination. And I got this pretty sweet little new water bottle I got for Father's Day.
Oh, nice, man.
And Tracy went and got me some more Stumptown cold brew in these like little mini cans.
I like the mini cans. I got to find some when I'm in town.
Stumpy Stumptown.
So good. So, yeah, it was great. And Wonder Woman was really good. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
That's great.
And they played the trailer, so many trailers, so many trailers. But they played a trailer for Thor. Is it Ragnarok. Thor Ragnarok, right?
Yeah.
So I'm Thor. Excited. Yeah, it does look good, but if you've ever watched a Marvel film and a DC film, like, so one right after the other, like the way that I did, like, you watch the Thor Ragnarok trailer and then pretty much the movie, the DC Wonder Woman movie starts, and you immediately realize that most Marvel films have a very boring color grade. They're very flat. They're very almost like too natural.
There's a whole video about that. It was like this guy. There's a guy who did an amazing video about how Marvel movies are color-wise very ugly. So the only movie that don't do that is Guardians of the Galaxy movies. They're the only ones with any color.
Yeah, and I guess they probably the Guardians movies. I guess they probably had to do that because most of it was like space CG backgroundy kind of stuff. But yeah, you watch the Thor Ragnarok trailer and you're like, okay, yeah, this is awesome. And then you immediately jump into the DC universe of like really moody kind of color grade. And I feel like there's a middle ground that would be great, but the Marvel films are too flat, too boring, and the DC films are too stylized. So somebody needs to do something like right in between, I think. But yeah,
Send them some Gorilla Grade LUTs or something.
There we go. That's all they needed, man.
That's what they
needed. That's all they needed. They needed
punch the color.
Yeah, they needed. I'm trying to think of one of the funny names that we had. I can't. I'm totally bailing. Or I'm totally screwing that up. But anyway, yeah, that was a good movie. It was a lot of fun. Then we had some tacos, and yeah, it was good.
Excellent. Did you get to see your dad over the weekend, Nick?
I did. I was hanging out with my dad, who's my hero. He's like Superman. None of his manliness skills went to me. I got all of his some charisma from him. I got good charisma. I got good. I got good hairline.
Good hit points.
But none of the like building a house kind of skills that my dad has. Like literally built all of our houses. Fireman, electrician, handyman guy. Got none of it. And so I was sitting around Father's Day remembering when I went to like Home Depot and had to go back home with like my trunk open, you know, that moment you buy something too big, you gotta get it home. The trunk's open. What do you do? Well, you gotta like tie some sort of knot into a piece of rope so it stays closed as closed as it can until you get home. And I realized my dad knows how to tie every knot and I know how to tie my shoelaces. So I asked him, I go, yo, teach me how to tie a knot. You need to do this on Father's Day. I said, yo, dad. And he goes, son, never talk to me like that again.
He slaps you immediately, backhands you.
And he goes and grabs some rappelling rope. He was also in the rappelling high angle rescue team and like went and saved people off buildings and crap like that. So, of course, he just has this stuff laying around, like real rope. And it's got like dirt on it and everything. It's real rope. And he taught me how to tie a bowline. And a figure eight, and I knew the square knot, I knew that one, and he showed me how to at least close my trunk, which is good. And then also some really helpful things, like if you want to, you know, pull a tree down or like put some, like tow somebody home. Maybe you need to, maybe their car stalled. You need to tie a rope. So that was my day learning how to do some knots. And now I'm going to sit here and
where's your badge?
Which one?
The one for rope tying.
What? I don't even know batch. What's batch?
Your badge, like your Boy Scout badge.
Oh, my badge. Oh, yeah. I didn't earn it yet. My dad's holding it hostage until I prove that I could do it. No, he was really sweet. He was really, he was like, no, I'll show you a knot. Oh, dude, let me give you the rope. Like, dude, awesome. I got a rope.
I got the family rope.
He's like, I got hundreds of these.
It's been passed down from generation to generation.
It was really cool. And then I asked him, you know, what's the difference between rope and webbing? So then the webbing's got that like thin stuff and it's describing that. And just, I had a cool little physics lesson with my dad. So it was nice. I enjoy the heck out of that stuff. I love my family. Got to hang out with them, got to see the grandkids, his grandkids, my nieces and nephews. And just was an enjoyable day. My brother-in-law came over, always a great guy. And it was just lovely, lovely day yesterday.
A lovely day.
It was. They actually, yesterday was also weather-wise beautiful. Me, Danny, and Johnny, we went down to visit my dad. He's like 45 minutes south of the city. Get to hang out in the burbs a bit, go get some nice dinner, just kind of hang out and do the Father's Day thing. Yeah, we got him tickets to Jimmy Buffett.
Wait, you forgot the other band, though. It's just as important.
Which is just as important, which is Huey Lewis. Yeah, Huey important. Lewis and just and Jimmy Buffett. Super important.
Man, Huey Lewis in the 80s, dude.
Is there a more of a hit maker than Huey Lewis in the 80s?
I mean, sports was there. was like, that's what they did. They're like, what are we going to name this album? Let's name it Sports. People like sports. That's what it's called, right? Am I wrong? Yeah,
Sports. It was a big hit.
I'm like, there was at least 10 hits on that record, I think.
I love when you play a record and it sounds like their greatest hits, but then you realize they just had nothing but hits on the record. There's a Cars album that's like that. Put on, I want to say it's the second, maybe the first one. And the songs, the hits start coming. And finally, there's a song where you're like, I don't know this one. You're like, because it's not the greatest hits. It's just 9 out of 10 of these
just
songs.
Just their album.
Are amazing.
Love that.
Okay, but it was awesome. It was a good excuse. I got, I finally got my new camera, my A6000 Sony camera. Sweet.
What lens did you get?
It's just a kit lens that came with it, but I wanted to tinker around a little bit. And immediately I want like a nice zoom lens and a macro lens.
Oh, see, now you're on the lens train. Watch out.
Well, that's just something
called, that's an expensive train.
I wanted to do those two types of photos because I was like doing all this manual focus. It's like, oh, I want to zoom more in than I can. And all
is
this.
That a zoom lens? Does it zoom at all?
Yeah,
or is
no,
it...
I there's a decent amount of zoom. I don't know what numbers mean. It says 1650 on here.
Okay, there you go. You got 16 millimeters to 50 millimeters.
Well, that's what I got in here. And I was using the heck out of that. So I took 227 photos and whittled them down to some of my favorites. So I might start posting some of those to my Instagram as I get them, which is Chris Schmidt 3D, same as my Twitter.
And this might be a good time to mention that we have show notes. If we mention anything that is on a website, we're going to try to put it in the show notes as we talk here. I already got some that color grade video, we should find that, put that in there. The one between DC and Marvel that you mentioned, Chris.
Oh yeah, totally.
And some Chris Schmidt on Instagram. Oh, there you go, dude. On the Instagram. So I tied a bowline. This is the bowline knot, I think. And he said, if you get a bowline right, the little end of it is in the middle. And then this you could tow a boat with this. So thanks, Dad. This is when I need to tow a boat.
You go tow a boat.
I'm ready. I'm ready. I feel better already. I feel more prepared for the apocalypse.
Are you going to keep the rope on like your hip? Like a lariat, like a golden lariat?
Yeah.
Just came from Wonder Woman. So like I'm immediately like thinking about that.
So a lariat? He literally gave me a bag with got some carabiners in here.
Wow.
You are ready.
And a bag that I could put the rope in that I could like tie on my back, you know, put like dangle it on my jeans. Maybe I just might walk around the city like this and have.
I think that's a great idea. It's a cool look too.
No, it's definitely more about the style than it is about the rope tying. But you know, you gotta at least can't be a poser. You gotta know some.
Be able to hog tie somebody. if there's like a kid that's like acting out, you could walk over and like hog tie them really quickly.
Mm-hmm. That might be frowned upon.
That's a good skill to have, though. I think it's, especially in my house, I'd like you to come over and
teach you, shed some knots.
take their ice cream.
Take their ice cream and tie them in a knot.
And you're welcome. Send you the bill. Send you the bill later.
All right. Boy. Well, what do we got for news? We got some news. We got a lot of stuff cooking.
Actually, it's a busy week, man. It's all over the place. I got some stuff to talk about. We've got Signal. I don't know if have we officially announced the day we're releasing? Can we do that now? Or
Oh my gosh. Oh. Yes. It is. It is so soon.
Yeah.
I think we might want to leave it at that. But
okay, we'll leave it at that. It's very soon, but we have been heads down, super beta testing, finding every bug we possibly can, getting it all fixed. And we've been having some fun making animations, like just trying to test it out and make some cool animations with it. So I have used Cinema 4D more in the last week. Like, you know, I use it a lot, but I've been using it and then getting done with work and then using it all night because I was just having so much fun. And except for visiting my dad, I did it all weekend as well, just playing with the BPM feature in Signal. It's so much fun. I am thoroughly enjoying it.
What does BPM stand for?
Oh, it stands for beats per minute. And we've been sneaking in more and more features into it. We've got it so you can put multiple measures, which is great. And we've now got it that you can turn on a button and actually see which beat you're currently on as it cycles around, which is huge. I can't believe we didn't think of that right away, but once let me tell you,
that one, very useful. Very, very useful.
And we were getting requests from it from different directions.
That one, I didn't know that existed. And I'm working on BPM stuff over the weekend, just making some renders and stuff. And the song that I was using had some stuff happen at the end that never happened at the beginning. Mm. So you're like, okay. And I'm not a VJ guy. So like, for me, it was just like all learning at this point. So we have a feature in BPM called Add Measure, which essentially allows you to add a measure. So for those of you that are not as musical, it basically means that you could map out an entire song in Signal by adding measures. And that's what I did. So I added out all these measures. And then I was by hand eyeballing where I thought we were in the track in terms of measures.
That's the same thing I was doing, which is when I was like, Danny, we got to be able to do this.
I'm like, okay, this is way too hard. Because sound is like really, first of all, it's Cinema 4D. It can't play, its playback kind of sucks because if you throw too much at it, it like won't play back real time. And then you're not really sure if your music is syncing up properly. Mm. So you end up having to turn off everything and then like kind of see, okay, I think this is right. Anyway, but so I hit up Chris, or no, actually Trevor hit me up because Trevor Kerr is also a beta tester. And he was like, I wish we had the ability to highlight what beat we were on in Signal, like where we are in the measures. And immediately I was like, no way. Like, that's going to be way too hard. It's going to take up way too much time. So I'm like, all right, I'll ask Chris, but I think he's probably going to yell at me or something because that's going to be way too much.
Too close to launch.
Yeah, too close. Number one, too close to launch. And number two, like, can the viewport even, like, sustain that? Can it even do it? So I hit him up, and Chris is like, oh, yeah, it's already there, dummy. Like, it's called highlight. Turn it on. And so once I turn that on, and it highlights where you are in the song, in the BPM, and this will all make more sense when we launch. But just know that if you're working with a track that has like some sort of melody that comes in at the end and you're trying to figure out where you are, that's where this feature helps you out. Super useful.
Super fun. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
Yeah.
Also made some Transform stuff as well. We'll be announcing that. Probably stagger the releases a little bit. Well, we could probably talk about Transform another day, but I've been working a little bit on that behind the scenes.
Adding in some sexy new presets.
Sexy new presets. If you do type animation in Cinema 4D, this will be for you. That'll be fun. That'll be fun to announce when we get closer. And what else is going on before we get into our big topic?
The last thing I got is I got my iPad Pro here. Nick doesn't want to do any hardware talking, but I'm going to be unboxing this in the background. I'll be tiny on the screen.
Thanks for calling me out, Chris. Listen, here's the thing. Hardware. You know what? It's at a certain point, it turns into a religion online. You know, it's like just something that you're never going to change people's opinions on. So, you know, it's Mac versus PC. We've been, you know, the Mac versus PC wars have been going on for years. And, you know, listen, we've tried financial aid. We've tried
the Red Cross has gotten involved.
Red Cross has gone in. there just seems to be no solution. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, people like what they like. And then they also, you know, what's also interesting, they don't like what they don't like.
I think people like to also justify their decision. So, and that's why you find people that are completely just immovable, because it's like Ford Chevy, you know, like I bought the Ford, the Ford's the best. And if you said, well, what if I just gave you all the money in the world? Would you still think Ford was the best? You'd be like, no, I probably have a new car every day. Like, I'd be down for whatever, the most expensive, awesome thing ever. So it's like you defend your purchases and it's whatever. Just be, I don't want this to turn into that podcast. So,
well, I think that's.
Wait. I'm going to peel this off.
And you're doing it.
Everybody listen to the sound. So, that's satisfying.
Our podcast listeners are driving off the road.
I know. They're like, oh my God, that noise. What was that?
I can't see it. Chris is now opening a 9.7, I think, because I'm also looking into one of these.
I am too.
Chris made it happen anyway. You did it. You did it anyway, Chris.
That sounds good to do in the background. I'm not doing it as play-by-play.
As he puts it right by the mic. I'm going to do it in the background.
I love it.
Well, that's just a sound. That was an audio experience.
It's an audio experience. That's right. It ultimately looks like a really fun machine. I literally,
the 12.9 inch one.
To those of you who love your PC, I'm really happy for you. But I'm really excited for this object as well.
I've been hearing we're gonna get off this topic, I promise. But
I promise
we will. I've been seeing nothing but amazing reviews for this iPad Pro. Like, I have not seen any bad reviews at all. Which is really rare. I mean, that's pretty rare in the tablet game, where there really isn't a whole lot going on.
This old mini is my only iPad, and I use it the heck out of it, and I still have never updated it in like 6 years. So sometimes I watch a YouTube video and it barely can play it. So I'm like, okay, I think it's time to update.
Oh boy.
And since I've been doing more music stuff, but I've been thinking about the Pro just to have a faster chip and to be able to record on it and all that stuff. So I'll be looking at it too. So I do eventually want a review. So you know what? Maybe we'll see what your experience is like next week, Chris. We'll have a segment. We'll have a hardware segment. People love this stuff.
They do. They eat it up. Will say though that I really wish it had multi-user. Like, how do they not have multi-user at this point?
You just get another iPad, Chen.
I know, but like
everybody gets their own.
All right, cool. Let me grab the Grayscale Gorilla credit card real quick. I'm just gonna order four of them. But yeah, I mean, if you got a family of four though, like it's
silly that they don't have that. But that's the solution. Everyone needs their own. What if you want to watch Netflix and the kid wants to play a video game?
If it was I have all the money in the world, of course everybody would have their own iPad and, you know, their own Tesla driving around. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I wish they did have multi-user support, because my kids will just immediately put games on it, and I don't want that experience. I just want like productivity and movies and that sort of thing. So I don't know.
Just give them their own page. Like, this page is theirs.
Yeah, if you have any ideas on how to make an iPad multi-user family friendly, hit me in the comments, because I'm very open.
The actual answer is they want you to buy one every year and then just downgrade the last one. They're like, last year's is now
the iPad. Oh yeah, pass it on to the next person.
Yeah, yeah, it's a hand-me-down.
That's what we've been doing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the actual family answer, is the adults get the new one. The kids get the old iPhone that doesn't have a cell data network with it anymore, that they could just watch, you know, some videos and play.
They've been doing that for five years now.
If they still play Minecraft. Is Minecraft still around?
Minecraft is not only still around, they're doing a big old upgrade to it to where all the different systems are going to be interlinked. So someone on Xbox can play with someone on an iPad who can play with someone who's on a computer. It's going to be one of the only games that does that.
Holy moly.
And they're doing like a giant graphics update to it as well.
Okay, that's fun. That's fun.
It's a whole thing. I don't understand Minecraft. All I know is that it's like low, like bitmappy looking stuff.
Yeah,
it's the best. I love Minecraft. I've played way too many hours of it. We have an active server over here.
Well, since Chris threw the iPad in anyway, which is fine. I just wanted to clarify what I mean, because I think it's important for the podcast. I consider this podcast a place that people that do motion graphics, motion design, that work in the industry, that are almost ready to work in the industry, come to learn the things that might get them there faster and that might, you know, speed up their productivity, their workflow, their career, right? To-do lists and how we get work done and how we stay motivated and all those kind of things. And then I look at hardware and it's just the ultimate distraction for so many people out there. I just see these, it's like a giant state of inaction as people decide exactly what video card and exactly what chip to buy and exactly what computer to build. And in the end, I'm just like, it's fine. Just buy it and come on in. Like, however you get in the door is how I want you in the door. However you are interested in learning is how I want you interested in learning. But then after that, it's like, you're just arguing about like what pencil you should buy to start drawing. And it's none of that is going to make you a better artist. None of it is going to make you a better drawer if you'd like decide what pigments and paints you're going to buy.
I don't think any of that is like exclusive to this industry. I think it's a systemic thing across our entire culture.
Absolutely. It is in music. You know how much audio gear I have and how little I practice piano? Like, you know, the hours spent researching gear and what to buy, and then every hour I do that is a scale and get better at what I'm actually trying to do. And I fall for it every time. I'm looking at a new, you know, piece of audio. I'm talking about getting one of these iPads because I'm like, oh, that'll help me record good music. No. Totally. Sitting behind and learning my instrument is the hard work that I need to go do and schedule to get my job done or to get my goal, which is like right now learning jazz piano and learning gospel piano. That is such a big task for me. And if I don't sit behind the keyboard and practice, it's not going to get there no matter what gear I buy. And so with that analogy, I just look at all this talk and back and forth, and it's just like, and I was there too. Everybody's been there. And some people go fade into it, fade out of it. But ultimately, the quicker you can get inside of the actual thing that you're trying to do and start working on that and your color theory and you're making as many renders as you can and trying to make clients happy, like that's the hardest stuff, ultimately. That's the hardest stuff. And so I that's the goal. The goal is to talk less about the things that don't matter as much and to try to talk about the things that do matter as much, which brings us to our topic. I didn't even think about that.
I thought that you were intentionally transitioning. That was great.
I shouldn't have even said anything. But I had to call it out because it was so, I felt so good about that transition. So which leads us to talking about focus. What?
Your camera went out of focus just as you said focus.
Oh, cool.
It's like a sign.
I hit the keyboard command for that one. What do you focus on? So this comes up a lot. This has come up a lot for me in my career and huge recently, and is always a question. When you have a limited amount of time, which we all do, when you have a limited amount of time and a big goal that you're trying to reach, or life goals or career goals, or just you want your art to be better or whatever it is, how do you decide the things to focus on? Day to day, month to month, week to week. And how do you go through, how do you manage when you have all of these opportunities? You know, we're blessed with the computers and internet and the ability to learn from almost anywhere in the world and to read any book from that anyone's ever written is like on a bookshelf somewhere or in Audible, ready to listen to, and thousands of podcasts and all these things that we could be doing. How do we focus on the things that will ultimately matter in our life, in our career, in our design, and in within our even our family and our friends and all these things. Like, how do you decide what to do? And I guess I always struggle with that. And I wonder if maybe we can kind of dive into this topic, because, man, I've certainly had that feeling. What do we do next? And as a company, we certainly have that feeling, right? We talk about this a lot internally. But, you know, for you guys, it's like, in your career, have you come across a time where you're like, should I go in this direction or this direction? And maybe we could talk about some of the things that you did to decide, or some of the filters that you put up to pick between those things. Is that a good way to set this up?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I'll let somebody else go, because I'm still trying to focus on what you said.
Chad's having trouble.
That's a good joke.
I've got a way of tackling it, although I feel like I'm already going in the meta direction on it. But for me, it's never a problem of what do I do next. It's what should I not do? There's always something I want to be doing. I've got so many hobbies. Like, it's so much fun. And now I just added a camera into that mix, like, which is like, who knows? Like, I don't know. It's a little side thing. But there's so many things where it's like, I have so many hobbies where it's like, you know what? I really want to pick up an instrument, start learning a little bit of music. Or maybe I should just like grab a garage band and start tinkering around doing music. I did some of that like back in high school a little bit, where it's like, I want to do that. It's like, you know what? I don't have the time to dedicate to that in the way I want to right now. So I'm just going to leave it in my back pocket. And then one day when I'm super in the mood for that, I can dive in and do it. And I've been feeling that way for like 2 years with a camera. And so literally like 2 days ago, the camera arrived and I finally got to dive into it and tinker around with it. And then like over the course of a single day, got to take like hundreds of photos, like, cause I was ready. It was like, okay, now it's time to focus on a camera and tinker around with that and have some fun with it. But it's at the same time, like, I've got stuff for making cosplay costumes. I started doing electronic stuff. I was 3D printing. I have a laser cutter that I did a Kickstarter for that I'm still waiting to arrive. Like, you can pile up. You know, I like drawing. I like sketching. I like, you know, doing digital painting. You know, just doing 3D in general. And then it'll be like, oh wait, I want to tackle an editing project. It's so easy to be like, oh, I've got all these hobbies. I want to do all these things, and then never be able to focus on any one of them. So it for me, it really turns into like, no, it's not time for that one yet. Let's leave in the back pocket and maybe do that little bit of research so that I'm ready, hit go. I can go and hit go, and it's ready.
What's your thought process then? Like, when you have all those toys and like projects and interests, and you are seems pretty interested in all of them, how do you decide on what to focus on? How do you decide, like, how do you decide what to work on so that when you look back, you're like, oh man, I should have spent more time like learning how to laser cut or whatever?
I don't know. I just go with my gut, honestly. Or it's more of a, let's not add another one to the list, because I tend to go through my hobbies and phases where it's like, oh, you know what? I'm super in the mood to draw, and I'm going to draw for like a month of like, I really want to draw, and I draw, and I draw, and I draw, and I draw. And it's like, yeah, I'm kind of bored with drawing, and I won't touch it for a year. And a year later, I'll come back to it. So it's more like, you know, do I have a 1 month or 2 month like field here that I can go and just tackle this and do whatever I want? And then, you know, I know I'm going to get bored with it for a little while, and I'm going to go back to it again for sure. So it's more like, how many things do I want to put in that cycle of jumping in and tinkering? So, I mean, at a certain point, I mean, when it's your hobbies, you should be doing what you want like all the time. Like, so this is what you're doing with your free time when you don't have obligations, is doing fun projects, is what I think, you know, hobbies are. Like, I wouldn't consider playing video games a hobby. A hobby is like, for me, a hobby is like something where I'm engaged and learning and challenging and like making. So I don't know. So I just go with my gut. Like, I mean, if you're not enjoying what you're doing actively on it, then, you know, maybe don't spend any more time on that right now until you're super in the mood again.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of similar language to what I do. And I kind of try to consider my work and my hobbies and my play and all that kind of stuff together. That's kind of how I mentally add up the hours in a day, and just kind of realize, you know, for me, at least, some of the mental things I go through is like, first of all, I realize that everybody has the same amount of hours. Like, nobody has 25 hours in the day. And understanding that anybody that is ultimately good or successful at what they do is using the same amount of hours that I have. So that's like a little bit of thing of like, oh, I'm always behind, or I didn't put enough time in, or I didn't put enough effort in. Whenever that gets to me, I just kind of remember my heroes had 24 hours a day and an average lifespan, right? So for the most part. Anyway, so that's like a first mental shift, is to like relax myself and start to not overthink it. But then I'm kind of with you, Chris. Like, I kind of think of things in phases, where I realize that if I go down this project, or if I go down this idea that I'm really obsessed with right now, it doesn't have to be what I do for the rest of my life. It could literally be something I put a lot of energy into. I ignore all the other parts of what's going on if I have the luxury to do that, right? So if I have multiple projects I could work on, I could say, okay, for the next 6 months, or the next 3 months, or the next 2 months, I'm only going to do this. And if I'm not at this point with it, or if I don't like doing it anymore or whatever, I just set up a deadline and decide at that point, I'm going to go ahead and like rethink and make sure I'm on the right path. So something that I've tried to add into my life is adding seasons to any project that I'm about to start. Something that caught me up early on in my career was thinking that anything that I did, I had to do forever, right? And that's just not true about so many things. So I tend to think of projects that I have now in phases or seasons, and literally I will end a season and go, okay, that's the end of Nick playing piano once an hour season for this 2 months. And is this something I want to do more of? Am I engaged with it? Am I having fun with it? And if so, I could continue. And if not, I leave it away. But
people without kids.
Oh, you're just shaking your head the whole time. You're like, yeah, all this free kids, time. Yeah.
Oh, kids boy. Just what do I do hobby, with right? all this free time?
Okay. So this is good. So with someone with less free time, right? How do you gauge? How do you think about this stuff? How do you set up your day? Because you have even more limited time, right?
Yeah. I used to have even more. I mean, as... It's like you go from, I mean, most people like have this phase in their early 20s before they have kids. They're like you guys. They like have all this time and they have so many interests that they don't know what to do and they just end up bouncing around. Then you have kids and all that goes away. Like you're in no more free time, no more sleep, no more. It's work and there's kids. And like those are the two things that you have. And then as your kids get older, you start to sneak in more of that free time and a little bit more of that, what you're interested in doing back into your life. It's never the same. It's never as much. There's never a Saturday where you wake up going like, you know what? I'm just going to stay in bed and watch movies all day. Like that's gone. Anyway, I don't want
to. Well, let me make sure we're refocusing too, because this is work. I like the idea that it's based on hobbies and all this stuff, but this podcast is about helping people get the job that they love and helping them like do more of it, right? And so when you choose on what to focus on, this isn't just about piano and 3D printing and like taking photos. This is about what we choose to do as a job. I mean, working is a third of your day, right? It's like, well, let's see, eight, six, yeah, like a third of your day that you're deciding to spend your time on. And so how do people that are lucky enough to choose where they work and how they work and what they want to work on, how do they focus on the right things that will get them into the right parts of their career? How do they focus on what to learn? If they do have a moment to learn, should they be becoming a generalist or should they be learning a new piece of software? Like how do you find the things even in your work to focus on? Because a lot of us, I'm assuming a lot of us that are listening have a little bit more autonomy than a regular kind of like desk worker or a regular kind of office employee.
If it's a freelancer or something.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. A freelancer is a great one, because they're ultimately like a freelancer is ultimately working for themselves and finding clients. And should they be finding new clients or should they be, you know, becoming better at their craft? So I want to make sure that we're talking about it in the context of work, and play too, because I, like I said, I do think of those things together, but let's make sure that we are trying to help people out there that are in their career going like, what do I do? Like, where do I go?
That's a really broad one. Man, I don't know. Like I've always been really lucky in that, everything that I'm really interested focusing on outside of and inside of work, it's 3D. It's like always. So I don't really, my interests outside of, my interests have always been 3D related and film related. So for me, that's what's really hard, I guess, about having a relationship and a family and whatnot, is that they sometimes can't tell if I'm working or if I'm playing. So I'll get the, you know, are you going to work today, Dad? And I'm like, actually, I'm just messing around. Like, this is, I consider this like my studio, but I think they think of it as like, oh, he's working. Why is he working so much? And it's like, it's not really work. I'm just like messing around, or I'm like having fun making something. So it's a little bit different for me, because there is a part of me that's like, I feel guilty almost, because it's like, am I working? No, I guess I'm not, because I'm actually doing it for fun. But then it is work, because I do get paid for it. And you know what I mean? So it's like this weird in between for me. But it's really important for me to communicate to my family and whatnot, that they understand that I'm not like, Nick isn't a slave driver making me work, you know, weekends and 13-hour days. It's that I'm messing around with something that I like. Like, think about, I try to always explain it like, this is my, if I was like a painter or a sculptor, this is my art studio. And I'm in here making art. Like, I am sometimes in here making art for people, like work for pay. And then I'm sometimes in here making art just to make art. And that is a really kind of hard, when you work from home, that's a really hard thing to communicate to family members. And it's like a whole separate topic almost.
You need a little red light outside your door where you push a button, like working or not working.
Yeah. I wish I kind of
occupied or not.
It's hard, man. Working from home, I can't imagine doing it. I'm glad I'm doing it now and not when my kids were toddlers, because there are no boundaries. There's no real way to tell a toddler that they're not welcome right now. And I'd have no problem doing that. My kids are tweens and I can just be like, get out now.
You heard me.
Don't make me.
Can't you see I'm rendering?
There should be a light that's just rendering
buckets buckets in motion, buckets in progress. Well, so to me, maybe it's hard to frame it. This is definitely a big topic. This is ultimately about what you want to accomplish. I think a lot about this. I don't mean this to be morbid, but I think about this a lot. When I'm almost dead and I look back and I see what I accomplished, am I happy with what I accomplished? And you could do this now. You could do this now with whatever you did for the last few years or months or up until now in your life, playing this game of, am I where I want to be? And I think one of the most frustrating but most beautiful things about humans is that almost everybody is like, no, I'm not. I'm not where I want to be. Dang it. I wanted to be further. I wanted to be better. I wanted to be faster. I wanted to be a better artist. I wanted to whatever. And at those times when you're frustrated, which I find myself constantly frustrated about things I want to do more of and things I would like to do less of, how do I make a game plan so that I can stop overthinking and start working on the thing that will matter? You know, back to me trying to learn piano, right? Like that's a thing. And again, this is an analogy for how I'm trying to work with my life in general. What are the things that get me behind the keyboard learning the things that I need to practice? And what are the things that keep me off of YouTube watching another like recording and producing video, which is ultimately a distraction? And it's fun. Like it's a very fun distraction. And maybe that's, kind of getting me interested in it, but it's
and you feel like you're doing something.
I feel like I'm doing something. Let me watch another video. You know how many videos I watch of people playing piano? More than I actually play, right? like 10x more videos of somebody really good at what they're doing. And then I'm looking at them like, oh, I'm learning from them, right? I'm watching them. And maybe this could even be about watching another tutorial today. Like, listen, we have tutorials, we have videos out there for you to learn, but maybe today's the day you don't watch a tutorial and you make something from scratch for a client. Maybe today's the day you ask your friend who just opened a coffee shop and say, hey, can I animate your logo for fun? And can you give me an idea of how you want your logo animated? Maybe today's the day that you read that book that is kind of boring, but ultimately is gonna let you understand how UVs work, right? Like, what are the things right now that you can focus on that will up your career that's harder to do? Because none of us need help. None of us need help to play more video games, and none of us need more help to like check our email, and none of us need more help to do anything that's like feels like you're working. But those things that are hard to do, I find myself at least always fighting myself to find more focus on those. So yeah, I mean, I know for me, I set up, you know, I could go through my whole day that I try to set up ways to be more focused and to be more specific about what I'm trying to accomplish and to actually look at my goals and say, how do I get there from here? I think that's ultimately one of the hardest things that I've learned to do is say, okay, I ultimately want to be here, either in my career or my family or my music, and I say, well, how do I get there? What are the steps? And what are the people that have done this in the past? How do they do it? Well, the people that have become really good piano players in the past don't watch a bunch of YouTube videos about piano playing. I looked it up. They don't. They actually, yeah, I was bummed to hear this, but what they actually do is they sit and they make stuff and they practice over and over again, and they mess up a million times until they figure it out. And so, yeah, I don't know. I want to hear how you guys like set that up. Do you guys have that feeling of like, man, I wish I didn't spend so much time on this today. I wish I spent more time on other things. Or is it just me, guy? You could tell me.
I don't actually. I don't have the luxury of that much free time. So I guess it's not a problem. Like, I always know exactly what I want to do because I've already been thinking about it for the past 12 hours. Like, when I get time, I'm going to do this.
And is that because
you are limited? Like, you are time limited because of kids and family and that, like, you are have that hour, boom, I'm going to blow it up with this.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And when I used to commute for an hour and 10 minutes both ways, I got really good at visualization. Like, what I would do is I would have an idea for how to approach a job or how to work on some project that we were scratching our heads about at the studio. And that hour and a half, I would visualize in my head, like, what I was going to do to solve it, like whether it was 3D or 2D or cameras or whatever. And then, you know, get home, have dinner, hang out with the kids, put them to bed. Then I had like 45 minutes of just like going into my office and like trying out what I had just thought of that in that time period. And I got really good at doing all the clicks in my head and then just sitting down and doing it. And it's funny how when you have less free time, you start to get really focused with your free time because it's more precious and it doesn't come so freely. If that's a kind of a weird way to say it, but
no, it makes total sense. It's something I've heard a lot about when people have kids. They're like, you actually become more focused and in some cases more productive because all the other stuff, all the stuff that we all probably, a lot of us fight all day, you can't do it. I can't spend an hour watching people play piano on YouTube. Like, that is just literally out of the question because I, or well, that's what I'm guessing.
Technically, you could.
But technically, I could, but
you might be neglecting some parental duties.
There might be a kid that doesn't have any
ice cream. In a dirty diaper for 5 hours. and you know, like it's funny. Like free time is just it's something that you have to cherish when you have it, and just learn to. I mean, focus isn't like a huge issue for me now, obviously, because kids and whatnot just make you more focused. But I remember when I was younger and I had that free time, how I would like squander it. But for me, back in those days, like my focus was music. So I was in a band, and that I always had something occupying all of my free time, whether it was learning 3D or playing in a band. That was all my time was spent. Like, so before the kids came, I was like every weekend on tour. Like we would just be playing shows every weekend. So there was always, and I hate being bored and I hate being idle and I hate not having something to be excited about. If you want to see me even more like grumpy than I am normally, like make me bored or give me nothing to do or watch me like when I don't have something I'm excited about doing, that is when I'm least happy. So I always like to have like at least three or four things jumping to and from in and around projects. Hmm. That's why I'm always messing around with renderers, is because I think it's fun. I can dive in and dive out really quickly. It doesn't take up a lot of time.
I don't think a lot of people have a problem filling their time. That's certainly, I don't know if there's anybody who's like, yeah, I just got nothing to do. Like, how am I going to fill it?
Yeah.
That's but maybe as a way of wrapping this up too, we can talk a little bit about how this applies to like business, where like, especially for some of the stuff we've been chatting about here at Grayscale Gorilla, about us being able to focus, because anybody with their hobbies or anybody with their career or anything they're working on, there's always other things to do, other promotional pieces or, company, like social media, or, like you're not updating your Instagram often enough. Like everybody's got all these different things lined up. And I think we've been finding lately that we have a gigantic list of things that we want and even feel like we should be doing, but we cannot do all of it.
Like, yep.
We can't do all of it all the time as much as we want to be doing it.
Yeah, there's I'm probably gonna mess this quote up, but I remember reading and trying to take this to heart, and it's hopefully I get this close. It says, you could do anything you want, but you can't do everything you want. And so I really take that in as a mental way to go, okay, well, I do want to do a lot of things, and I want to make an impact and help a lot as many people as I can through this company and build a company that people like to work at. And I want to do these 10 things. But eventually maybe I could do a few of them, but if I try to do all of them, it's all going to break down. It's all going to fall apart. So, I really like the way that you said that, Chris, just like the focus of what we work on next is definitely an internal struggle we go through all the time. But it's also based on the idea that we have a lot of opportunity too, right? So that's like a good thing. I try to remember that all the time when we go, well, we could do this, or we could do this, we could work on this project or make this training, or we could do it here. And what are we going to do? And then I always have to take a step back and go, well, we're really kind of, lucky to be in this position, but it still doesn't make it any easier for me. It's still very, very hard. And for me, what I've been doing, if this helps anybody out there, I've been reading and rereading a book called The One Thing. And it's a very simple premise about finding the one thing that you need to focus on and working on that every day. And it goes through a lot of the science behind it. It goes through a lot of, how your mind will kind of stop you from doing that hard work. But it's highly recommended. I've basically taken a media diet since I've read that book and decided I'm not going to read any more business books. I'm not going to read any more productivity books until I implement what is in this book. To go back to my piano lesson, I need to sit and actually do what's in this book before I go get more information, before I go watch another YouTube video on how to set up my to-do list, right? Does anybody watch YouTube videos on how to be productive? Like, It's the opposite. It's a nightmare. And so my mental state, at least in the last year, has been trying to get out of that, you know, monkey mind of like, what's next? What's next? What's next? This? Oh, God, we didn't do that. We got to do it. Well, we got to get that. That's my mind. That's inside my head at all times. And what I've been trying to do is set up how I can put all that energy into something up front, how I could take all that nervous energy of like what to do next, think very hard about it and say, where do we want to be as a company, and talk to you guys? Where do we all want to be in 6 months? What are the products that will help the most people? What's the training that most people are asking for? Like all these things, we could actually have a big discussion about it and then plan the next few months. And then in some ways, go in that direction with our heads down a little bit, without worrying about what we're going to do tomorrow, without worrying about what's next on the project or things that we're neglecting, and understanding that we are neglecting other things, but it is at the cost of doing this one thing. When you say yes to a project, you're saying no to everything else. And so that's what I've been focusing on, is learning how to focus. It's a lot of meta today, but focusing on learning how to focus. That's been a big shift in my mind, because man, I am scattered as can be. And learning some of these tactics on how to focus has been really helpful. And that book is hugely recommended from me. Like I said, if you're struggling with this stuff or trying to decide where you want to end up in a year or two, check out The One Thing for sure. I feel like this was a little scrambled, this episode. It's not in a bad way. I just feel like it's
unto itself is unfocused.
Right. It's an unfocused episode. So, you know, this is an important topic to me. It's something I struggle a lot, internally. It's something I struggle a lot with projects that I've abandoned in the past, or things that I should have worked on harder or learned earlier. So let me know in the comments for this one, if you guys, have come across this, or maybe you could describe it in your own language, this kind of feeling of what do I do next, or did I make the right decision? I think that choosing the right way to go is something I struggle with a lot, and so I'm glad we talked about it, but I do think there's more here that I think maybe we're either missing or just haven't, you know, maybe there's just no answer. You know, everybody's their own unique snowflake. My dad, my mom told me that.
That is true.
So maybe people approach it in a different way, and maybe I should go get a dog. Maybe that'll take some hours away from me, you know, and then focus me. And then a bonus, I get a cute dog.
And you get good at cleaning up crap.
Oh, dude, I love it.
It's a good primer for kids.
I don't know, dude. I know what you mean, but you're pretty much saying is like, I'm unfocused to be able to do all the things I want to do. So let me remove a bunch of my time.
No, that's true though. That's true. And has anybody got to, like, let's say it's a week away. I'm pretty sure people have had this feeling. You're procrastinating. You have a big project due. Maybe you have a client that's like waiting on something, and you have 4 days left, and you know you need to work on it, and you're procrastinating, and it's maybe not a fun project. And now you have 3 days left, and you wake up that morning and you're like, today all day, I got nothing to do but make this client their awesome animation. And then all of a sudden it's 2 o'clock and you're like, oh, okay, well, I messed that up. I watched more YouTube videos about boogie woogie piano playing. But now I'm going to focus on getting the rest of the, in fact, I'm going to stay up till midnight. And then all of a sudden it's 8 o'clock, and you know, maybe some friends come over or the family members come home, and then you wake up with 2 days left. And then all of a sudden that last day, everything gets done, right? That procrastination actually piles into just like a big vomit session of like getting that work done. That is exactly what you're saying, Chris. The less hours you have, the more focused you must become. Because if you only have the day to do it, you barrel down and you get it done. I've also done this on vacation when I know I'm going to be gone for a week or two, and I know that I'm going to be away from maybe my main computer, or you know, I'm trying to wrap up a project. The amount of work that that somebody can get done in a limited amount of time when there is pressure involved, when there's actually stakes on the line or whatever. Well, I don't know what I'm saying now, but when there's actually like stakes.
There's stakes involved?
Oh, no, wait. Good. There's lines in the sand. That's what I was saying.
Stakes in the sand?
There's stakes in the sand, which is not recommended.
No.
That would be gross.
Your teeth. The worst.
But when you have that day and you somehow find it in you to get it all done, I think that is potentially what setting up less time can do. So it's something I'm working
for everybody though. I think.
Well, I'm trying to impose those limitations on me before there's kids, because I also want to like go outside sometimes too. Sometimes I'll procrastinate my way through a day where I now don't get to go outside and like enjoy the three weeks of nice weather that Michigan has. Right. So I'm trying to set up some limitations in order to focus by removing some things and understanding that I could do those later. I could do it in the winter. And right now, maybe I need to focus on what's the most important thing right now. Focus on it. Get it done. If I have some extra time, I want to play. That's cool. But I got the big stuff done. And now I can fly my drone around, which should be here any day. I'm so excited, guys.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't know you bought a drone.
I didn't know that.
Well, I'm really excited. I got the Spark drone. And now we're talking about hardware again. But that's okay. It's a drone. It's not a computer.
It's worse.
It's yeah. Even more. Anyway, I'll let you guys know when I crash it, because I'm sure we will. But my dad and I have always talked about getting one. He's a big GoPro guy. He uses GoPros like more than anyone I know, and so we kind of like bought it together, and we're gonna learn how to crash it together. So I'm just excited to get outside while it's nice out and
that's awesome.
Fly a drone around. So I don't know if that helped focus this episode at all, but you know, let us know. Certainly not talking about the drone. Let us know in the comments, everybody. We love your feedback about this stuff, and this might be something that I go think about a little bit more, focus on a little bit more, and come back with maybe some more like ways of thinking about
a more
this.
Focused podcast about focusing.
A more focused podcast about focusing. So let us know your thoughts about this one. And we should wrap this one up. I did forget to mention that if you're not tired of my voice yet, which I'm sure you are, I did a lot of talking today. I was on two other podcasts, and I'll link those up in the in our podcast notes as well. So if you love podcasts, you like this voice right here going through this microphone, go check out the Chris Doe podcast. It's called The Future. And we talked a lot about Chris in the past on this show. And he had me on his show. We talked a lot about some of these topics on how Grayscale Gorilla got started, but also a lot about the business side of Grayscale Gorilla and some of the things that we have planned as a company and how we make decisions. I was also on a podcast called How to Be Awesome at Your Job, which I'm always struggling to do a little bit better every day. So if you want to hear that one, that was fun because they don't know motion graphics, right? Like they didn't know me as a motion graphics, motion design person or 3D. They were just kind of interested in how I get my work done every day. So it's, again, a lot of the stuff we talk about today. So I will probably mention those next week as well at the beginning of the podcast so everybody knows, but go check those out. And is there anything else for today? Any last minute thoughts?
Get outside. Enjoy the summer.
It's so nice out.
Yeah.
And
let's go outside.
Text and drive.
Don't text and drive. Very good. Call your family members. They miss you. Learn how to tie knots. And
take pictures.
Take photos. Play with iPads.
Take photos.
Fly drones.
Don't talk
about Minecraft.
Gear.
Don't talk about. Yeah, it doesn't matter what computer you own.
Well, okay.
Just for now. Just for get now. Outside.
Just go outside.
Thank yes. you, Freddie. Thank you, Freddie, for helping. Well, this podcast went off the rails, and I enjoy these.
I'm all about it. We should just start, like, it can be like one of the sub segments of it where it's just a podcast off the rails.
podcast off the rails. This is a very special off the rails episode of Grayscale Gorilla. So
yeah, it's like the AMAs, and then we can have off the rails.
Yeah, you really want to listen to this one with a whiskey. So hey, tell yourself about an hour ago to pour a whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
See,
mm-hmm.
This is about regret. Don't you wish you poured a whiskey?
Sure. Who says I didn't?
We don't know what's in that thermos.
Yeah, happy Father's Day. Here's whiskey in a thermos. Mm-hmm. Oh man. All right, let's let's wrap this one up. I give this episode I don't know how many centimeters. 44 centimeters. I hope you guys have a wonderful day. And
Above average.
It's above average. We'll see you in another Grayscale Gorilla podcast very soon. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, everybody.